Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the NBA DFS Today podcast by Sports Ethos. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I'm super excited because we are actually introducing a brand new DFS contributor here at Sports Ethos, Mr. Pat Valenti. And Pat, how are you tonight, my man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm ready for things to get back into the swing of things here post All-Star break. You know, it's always that time of the year, the NBA season, where if you're anything like me, which I'm sure a lot of people are that are listening, know you're in your season long league. You know you're playing DFS a lot of the nights, and you know that wall hits, and I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait for the slates to start back up. So we'll see what we got here.
Yeah, it's been kind of a lonely life here without any NBA games. I'm excited for them to get started again, but I'm super excited, Pat. You're very much impressed me here with the stuff that he brought to the table with his little interview with us here. So excited to see what goes on, but we do have an awesome slate here for you guys. 10 game slate, getting back into the swing of things as we mentioned here. So we'll go ahead and just get started, deliver you the goods. Again, just want to go ahead and emphasize, since we are starting back up, maybe we got a few new listeners out there, this is an early look at the slate. Of course, things are going to change between now and when tip off happens, so do, you know, get that DFS pass. It's $5 a month at sportsethos.com. We'll hang with you in the Discord, talk you guys through what we're looking at, you know, as things happen. And we'll definitely give you the DFS delivery also. I think I'll be the one that delivers you that tomorrow. It might be Arnold, actually. I think Arnold's doing that, but it's going to be dropping a little later in the day. So you guys get a little bit more updated information as, you know, when injury news drops and things like that. So, all right, Pat, let's jump right into it, though, man. Let's talk about this. I want to talk about Detroit at Indiana. I think this is probably the one that jumps off the slate. I mean, this is not controversial. This is the top total on the whole slate. So we'll spend a little time here. It looks like an 11.5 point spread in favor of the Pacers right now on DraftKings, and 247.5 is that game total. So it is the highest one currently on the slate, according to DraftKings. Of course, we can't take that as the Bible, but, you know, let me go ahead and just start here. I know you're new, so go ahead and just break some stuff down here for everybody. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, starting at the top here, let's just start on the Detroit side. You know, I didn't find a whole lot I loved on the Detroit side, to be honest with you. You know, Cade Cunningham, I believe he's probable coming into this one.
Yeah, he's probable. He's got a probable tag, last I looked.
Yeah, so, I mean, if he was going to be out, I mean, you know, I'm all over Jaden Ivey. I love Jaden Ivey here, but since he is in... Yeah, but since he is in, I'm kind of curious to see if Isaiah Stewart suits up in this one. I know he just punched a dude, but seems to not have to be serving any time for that one. So I'd be kind of interested in him here at 5,500. But are there any guys here on Detroit that kind of jumped out to you as, like, you know, must rosters or guys that just kind of pique your interest?
Yeah, I mean, just jumping back to Stewart real quick, Keith. You know, last I looked, he was a game time decision. He hasn't really received any... you know, for sure, suspensions or anything that I've seen from what research I've done. But he was on the injury report. So, you know, just kind of monitor that. Like you said, this is an early look here. So you're going to want to keep an eye on that. And, you know, I think Cunningham, with a little bit of an injury tag, he might have a little bit of suppressed ownership coming in. You know, people might like Ivy a little bit. You know, he's been producing a little bit cheaper tag as it is anyways. I think Cunningham could be interesting in a spot like this. You know, he's got the ceiling. And yeah, he's a little bit of a pay up on a big slate like this. You know, you got to watch your pay up options. You really got to make sure you know, you're right on your pay ups. But I actually think Cunningham would be a decent look in a spot like this. I know that's not a flashy or deep bench guy or anything like that, but I that's the way that I would lean myself.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And, you know, like I said, I didn't end up, you know, I make a dummy lineup, you know, kind of early on here, and I didn't end up with any Detroit guys in that, but I do see that, you know, Cunningham there. I know Oscar Thompson's another guy at 5,000. He's been getting minutes, obviously, with ever since Bojan Bogdanović has been out of town. He's been really absorbing all those minutes there. He's only 5,000. I mean, you know, what are we looking for there? We're looking for maybe 35, 40 DK points. Does he have that ceiling in him? I just don't know, honestly. I don't feel comfortable with that enough. So, you know, ultimately, I didn't end up with any of these guys. It's more about the Indiana side for me, obviously. And, you know, first and foremost, Tyrese Halliburton, 9,400. You know, again, not a flashy play or anything like that, but you know, it is pretty much, I wouldn't call it chalk because it's not like, you know, we have an injury there. He's going to absolutely go off or anything like that. But it's a positive game environment, positive game script, a good, you know, matchup here for him. And, you know, Halliburton, I think, has that ability to both score and, you know, assist at a very high rate. He's in Indiana, where they just had, you know, the All-Star game where he was just the hometown hero basically and went off. I think it hit 5 of 6 threes in that All-Star game.
Yeah, he was on fire. He was letting it
fly
for sure.
Yeah, he was crushing it in the beginning at least of that All-Star game. So I didn't watch all of it. I didn't watch much of it at all, honestly. I hate the All-Star game. But either way, I think he's a decent option here as a spend-up. Another guy I was looking at here as well, Pat, on the Indiana side is Benedict Mathurin. He's only 4,500. And, you know, I don't know if I've got these guys both in my lineup right now, but I don't think I'm going to end up that way because I think for Mathurin to kind of go off, you kind of have to have that scenario where the Pacers go up big early and they end up just playing Mathurin, you know, extra minutes because they're like, oh, we're up 20, 30 points. So why not play Mathurin a little bit more? So I think I want to go with Mathurin, though. That 4,500 price tag really shocked me a little bit because I was like, wow, we've seen him, you know, be up in the 5,000s, mid 5,000s, and now we get a pretty good, you know, price cut here against a very bad defense. So
Absolutely.
So that's kind of look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and you know, Mathurin, you know, like you said, he's shown that ceiling before. He was a high draft capital pick coming out of Arizona. Definitely a flashy 3-and-D wing in the NBA. Definitely has that ceiling. And from a little bit of research that I did here tonight, I did see that Aaron Naismith is out on the injury report.
Correct.
So that would kind of, you know, lend to, you know, your Mathurin point there. And I think as well, to some extent, as Halliburton, I know they're not the same position, but, you know, that's less shots on the court. You know, Naismith is, you know, he's done well as a scoring option for the Pacers this year. And I think that would help his case as well, like you said, as your pay up option there. So just keep that in mind, too. I like both of those calls there, you know, as far as Mathurin and Halliburton, especially with the Naismith news.
And, you know, I mean, I think you can pretty much roster any of these starters on the Indiana Pacers. But, you know, Miles Turner at 6,500 also is pretty attractive. Just an attractive price tag there for a good, you know, a good matchup here. And obviously, you know, Jalen Smith is questionable. So maybe Isaiah Jackson gets some extra run. He's 5,000, which is really tough. But maybe it's a GPP play or something like that. Again, you're just kind of scripting this as, you know, hey, the Pacers are going up big early and they're going to sit Miles Turner and play him like 25 minutes or whatever. And
absolutely,
Isaiah Jackson, he'll get, you know, 20 minutes, something like that. So,
sure.
So that could be possible. So I think that's really all I'm looking at here in this game, though. Is there someone else that jumped out to you, or do you think we can move on here?
You kind of hit a couple of the guys that I was looking at there. You know, Jalen Smith does have, like you said, the questionable game time decision tag there. Isaiah Jackson's shown a little bit of a ceiling here this year. He would be a decent GPP option if you're making maybe multiple lineups or in a couple different tournaments. He'd be a guy to maybe put in a couple builds, as well as Miles Turner. Like you said, you know, he has that crazy ceiling that he can hit every couple times a year. You know, if Smith happens to sit, it's going to open up run for both of those guys to potentially, you know, showcase their ceilings.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you said you had a couple games you're looking at as well. Give me one of the games you're looking at.
Well, so to start here, it's one that I'm sure not a lot of people might think are sexy or flash or whatnot, but I kind of like this Nets Raptors game. It's got a 230.5 total. Toronto's favored by 2.5. I think it's going to be close through to the end. Nets head coach Jacques Vaughn got fired here for the All-Star break here. And I know a couple of players on the Nets team voiced their displeasure with kind of how the offense was being run and whatnot. And one of those guys was Mikal Bridges. And a lot of the times you see in a lot of sports, actually, I know it's a little bit narrative based, but you know, coach gets fired and guys usually come out and play a little bit inspired, a little bit, you know, wanting to showcase what they thought they were right in. And just at the guys' prices here, you know, Mikal Bridges is at 7.3K, and these are all on DraftKings, by the way. 7,300. Cam Thomas is at 7,200. Nick Claxton is at 6,900. Cam Johnson, 5,100. And Ben Simmons at 5,600. Those are all kind of, you know, in that mid-range. You know, those are basically the studs give or take, as you will, on this Nets team. And none of them are really crazy through the roof priced options. And, you know, I think if you come back with that on the other side with Toronto, with Scotty Barnes, you know, he's at 8,800. You can get it. You can get some really interesting game stack builds there on a game that I think is going to be a little bit lower owned. And I think might even get some overtime in there, some extra ball, perhaps. You don't like to always guess for overtime, but you know, I could see it, definitely see that happening. And I think that's just be a decent way, like you said, if you're playing GPPs, which I normally play mostly myself, could be a different way to differentiate yourself from the field and maybe get some bonus basketball.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, man. I'm all over Mikal Bridges. I think he's a fantastic play here. I think this game, just looking on paper and, you know, what these two teams bring to the table. And I love, you know, the narratives going on as well with Jacques Vaughn being ousted. You know, they were saying they were running their offense through Ben Simmons, which is really a crazy thing to even say, because why would you run an offense, an NBA offense, through a player that doesn't want to score, can't shoot? It makes, I mean, I get it if he's a distributor in the middle or something like that, get it, but like it's insanity to me. But supposedly they're going to be building around Mikal Bridges going forward, so
which is the right move. I've always liked Bridges as a player myself, and I definitely think he has a ceiling that he's hit a few times this year, and he's been solid, don't get me wrong, but I think there's another level to his game that we can see this year, and I just think that's a good price tag for him. And I think you could even last half of the season here, I think we could see his price even skyrocket a little bit more before it's all said and done.
Yeah, he does have a few 50-point games, a 60-point game I'm looking here. So there is definitely a ceiling there for him for sure. And, you know, one thing about this Toronto team, and I've been attacking them on the betting angle, on the betting side as well, because they just didn't want to win games, and they're not really trying to win games right now. So at some point they're going to lay down and let this team kind of walk over them, I think. And I think the Brooklyn Nets are going the other way. They do want to win games. They do think they have enough to win. So so I like that call a whole lot. So that's excellent, man. And I'm going to move on here to a game that I like as well. Let's talk a little bit about, you know what, let's go ahead and hop over to the Charlotte and Utah game. I got to talk about these teams. I love these teams. I love when the Utah Jazz are not a bad team, quote unquote, but I love when bad defensive teams at least meet each other. And that's definitely the case here. So obviously it's DFS. We all love that, of course. That's nothing crazy. Sure. But let's talk Charlotte, Utah. And I think there's a couple of guys on Utah specifically that we need to target that are going to be probably pretty popular plays. You know, Lauri Markkanen is only 8,100.
Yeah,
on the slate,
price for him.
Which is, I mean, I didn't end up with him in my dummy lineup here, but I'm going to try to work him in because that's just crazy cheap, I think, for Lauri Markkanen. He's the alpha and omega on this, you know, offense here for the Utah Jazz. Has some 50-point games under his belt as well, so he's got the same kind of ceiling as Mikal Bridges, but, you know, 8,100, it's a little bit more expensive, but still.
He has that in him all day, you know. That's low for him. You know,
the frequency is going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, and there were times last year we saw Markkanen at what he hit almost 10K on some slates, you know, price wise, you know, low to mid 9,000s. I think that's a great call on Markkanen and in this game in general for sure.
Yeah, and you know, we always like to attack Charlotte at the center position, and you know, it doesn't seem to matter who's playing center in Charlotte. They seem to always be bad at guarding the center position. So, you know, Walker Kessler, I think, is going to be a popular option here, 5,100. I don't think I want to go there though. I'm much more interested in John Collins at 6,200, and you know, he's been super involved in the offense as of late. He's got, what, 2 40-point games here in the last four games, 30-point game, 30-point games mixed in there as well. Pretty safe floor, and he still has a really decent ceiling. Still a relatively young player going against this very weak Charlotte Hornets defense. So talk to me a little bit about John Collins. Sounds like you're on board with that as well.
No, yeah, and especially ever since the Jazz, you know, parted ways there with Kelly Olynyk, he's not in town anymore. That was kind of like a clear runway for Collins, a guy who they gave up some stuff to acquire. I think that's a smart move. Collins has always been somewhat a polarizing player in fantasy circles, I guess. I've always been a fan. You know, he's a freak athlete. He can hit the three, especially corner dish threes, which he's been getting a lot in the games that I've watched. He's just a good rebounder in these up-tempo, high-tempo games. He fills lanes well in transition. He's a pretty good offensive rebounder. He's going to get you those peripheral stats. He'll get you some blocks and steals. And in a high-tempo game that you're probably not going to see a lot of defense, I think this is a perfect spot for a guy like Collins. I like the play.
Yeah, anyone really in that front court, I think you can play here against the Charlotte Hornets. But the interesting thing about the Hornets on the other side of this is that they are surging recently. Kind of had an influx here of veterans that play better than the crappy young guys they've been playing. So they've been playing their veterans, and they've been winning some games here and there. So, you know, if they can keep this competitive, you know, again, that's another kind of, data point that we have that says, you know, hey, go ahead and play a Lauri Markkanen or a John Collins, because you're spending up a little bit on those guys. But I think if this game is close, they're for sure going to pay off those price tags for you.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about the Charlotte side here. You know, one guy I've been smashing in all my lineups here, Trey Mann. He is climbing in salary here at 5,500. Don't know if I can get to him here. I don't know. I do love the kid. I think he's a very talented player. I was very excited to see him get into a situation where he'd be able to play. But is there anybody that's – and, of course, you know, the other guy here that jumps out to me is Brandon Miller at 7,000, and another young guy that's just absolutely taken over the reins of the offense here. But, you know, as long as Miles Bridges is out there, he's kind of in the way of those guys. So,
yep.
I don't know. Are you getting to the point where you're going to have, you know, these guys on a lot of your rosters, or, you know, are you super excited about any of them?
Well, like you said, you know, LaMelo Ball is still out here. He is practicing. Last I read, but he is out for this game. Said there's a chance he might play Friday, but you know, that's all still up in the air. Trey Mann, this kid's always had the talent. You know, he's a longer type point guard. He's been able to have the peripheral stats, and he's getting the opportunity to get more shots up and a lot more usage, you know, with this opportunity here in Charlotte. And, 5.5K on DraftKings, it's getting to that teetering point where you might be hitting the peak of, you know, you're buying up for him. I do still see a scenario where he can still hit that threshold to pay off that salary. I understand, you know, maybe the hesitation, you know, you don't want to be late on guys necessarily, but if they keep giving him, you know, this 30 plus minute role, I don't see why he can still hit that ceiling and pay that price tag off. So, I don't think it's a terrible play. You know, if you're making a couple builds, I don't see why you can't have him in a couple. Is he a jam? He might not necessarily be a must roster guy, but I don't think you necessarily have to worry about him not having that type of ceiling. I think he could certainly pay off that price point.
Fair enough. And we are about halfway through the games we're going to cover here. We're going to hit about six of these 10 games here on the site. Of course, this is an early look. We do go more in depth behind the scenes here in our written content as part of the DFS pass at sportsethos.com. It's just $5 a month, Pat. $5. $5. You can't even buy a cheeseburger anywhere for $5 anymore.
No.
Go pick it up. It is incredible. It's cheap, and you're going to lock in that price point for life. I mean, if you don't cancel with us, we're never going to raise that price on you. So once we do start getting the tools and everything that we need to go ahead and ascend this thing to the next level, you guys will get access to all that at a stupid cheap price. So sign up now. Keep it. And ride this wave with us. But you had some other games you were looking at, man. Hit me with another one you're looking at.
Yeah, another game that I kind of like here. Like I said, this is more so for GPPs myself. I'm going to always kind of preface that.
Sure. Love it.
type of tournaments. I'm a tournament guy. That's what I play. We got Wizards Nuggets here, okay? Mm-hmm. I understand the blowout factors there 100%. The Wizards showed a little bit of sign of life, you know, pre-All-Star break there. You know, they started leaning into guys like Danny Avdia, you know, the guys they put some draft capital in. And this front office needs to see what they have in these guys. I mean, they're in no man's land here these last couple of years. They got to start giving these guys some run to see what type of roster they're building with here for the future. I think you're going to keep seeing guys like Denny get run. Even a guy like Kula Ball, he's been getting a lot more playing time. Yeah, the price tag's risen on Denny, but he's a guy that I actually still don't mind playing at this tag. He put up, I want to say, 71 DraftKings points last time out. You saw him on the floor. You know, a lot of guys think this might not be sustainable, but I think this could be a situation where this might just be the type of player he is the rest of the year if he keeps getting this type of run, which I don't really see why they wouldn't. Like I said, they invested high draft capital in him, and he's a guy I actually really like for this slate in general. And as far as the Denver side, you know, I think you can get Joker at suppressed ownership here. I think the blowout factor is going to scare a lot of people off. And I think this game might even stay a little closer than people think, at least into the fourth quarter. I think Joker is going to get his run in this game, and I think he can hit that every time out, obviously. But I think there's a world here where this game stays close, and you see guys like Joker and Denny pay off those price points. And last I looked, KCP, Murray, and Strother were all game time decisions, so that's something that we're going to want to keep eyes on for sure, no doubt. But especially if guys like that are out, that goes back to my Joker point. They're going to be running the offense even more through him, and then your peripheral guys, your Michael Porter Juniors are going to get more looks. Your Aaron Gordons, even a guy like Reggie Jackson, those guys could all smash their ceilings, especially if this game stays close, into the fourth quarter. And, they're trying for a win here. I think that they could easily pay off their price points.
Yeah, I love it, man. And, hey, let me pound my, fist on the tabletop here some more. Danny Avija, I've been touting this guy for like the last 2 months. Finally, we're seeing these big games from him. I was hoping with the touting that at some point Kyle Kuzma would be traded, of course, which didn't happen. But supposedly Kyle Kuzma rejected the trade offer to the Mavericks because he doesn't want to play for not at the contender, which is pretty hilarious. But anyways, Denny Avija, yeah, I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's a nice young player here. I think they do want to keep rolling him out there and giving him big usage. Jordan Poole is kind of the one that's been kind of taking a back seat to these guys, which is probably for the best, honestly. So, yeah, I can ride with Denny there. He's 6,800. I think it's a great GPP play. And I love, finding guys with suppressed ownership that are just, that was my biggest hit last year was with Jokic at center because everyone was just, it was on FanDuel. And at FanDuel, you have to lock in a center. You get one center and you have to lock in one center for the whole slate. And everyone was gravitating towards like Naz Reid, I think it was, because Gobert was out, right? And so like everybody was like, he was like 80% owned, and I had Jokic at like 5% owned, and Jokic was like absolutely insane. Yeah, and I was like, wow, this is fantastic. So those are the kind of things that we look for, those are the opportunities. And I think you're right, if this does stay close, and the thing about Denver is they don't traditionally blow people out of the water. It's just not their MO. They kind of methodic team, right? They don't have a lot of pace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I do like that call. I think that's it's a late game hammer too. Of course, we always love those just from a mental standpoint. We like to have that late game hammer. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on though. Let's talk about another one here. I'm trying to see here. Phoenix and Dallas. That was the other one that I wanted to talk about here. Phoenix and Dallas, I think this is a fantastic game. I think this is going to be a pretty highly owned game also. People are going to be probably all over this one. It's a high-profile game. Two teams that are pretty evenly matched, in my opinion.
Sure.
I'm really not sure who's going to win this one. I'm curious, actually, what that spread is here.
2.5.
Yeah, 2.5. So, yeah, that's about seems about right to me. 243 is that game total. It's the second highest on the slate there. So, again, I'm not being, totally controversial or anything like that.
You're right.
Yeah, but the one guy I like here a whole heck of a lot. Well, I'll say this: the matchup I like here a whole heck of a lot is Luka Doncic versus Devin Booker. I think either of those guys, they seem to get up to play each other, and
I agree.
Is kind of a I don't really play narratives too strongly, right? I don't like to lean too hard into them, but there are certain narratives where there, when there's smoke, there's fire. And anytime these guys get together, there seems to be fireworks. It's like whatever you can do, I can do better type of deal. So
100%.
I've got to roll Devin Booker here just because of the price point, right? I want to, it's a big slate. It's hard for me to justify, putting a bunch of my salary into one guy. So Doncic is probably off the table for me. I don't mind getting to Doncic, but now that he's got all that help there with Gafford and PJ Washington and all that, he doesn't have to do as much, and Kyrie Irving's healthy. So
Usage is down a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always going through the roof with Luka, don't get me wrong. But, a little bit down for Luka, that price point, like you said, a little bit goes a long way when you're paying up for somebody like that.
Exactly. So I'm not sure if I can get to Luka, but I do love me some Devin Booker here. And of course, Bradley Beal is also questionable here with, I believe it's a face injury of some sort or something like that. hamstring / nose. So a hamstring injury and a nose injury. So if he doesn't suit up, of course, you know, we're going to get some more assists here from Devin Booker. He's going to be more of a point guard as well. So I like me some D Book here. Talk to me about this game. Anyone that is kind of standing out to you here that you like a whole lot?
No, and like you said about the narrative base, that's anybody you talk to or any content you follow in this space, you're going to have your guys that are a little more narrative based and your guys are a little more statistical database, It's here or there, but I totally agree with what you're saying about these two teams getting up to play each other. And what should be probably two teams that have championship hopes. I like the call of Devin Booker there, you know, being a little bit lower price than Luka, but still having that ceiling, especially if Beal ends up being out. We're going to want to pay attention to that closer to tip. But like you said, this is an early look. So I totally agree with your call there. Derek Lively and Maxi Kleber, both game time decisions for the Mavericks, I'd like to mention as well. Lively's at 5K, Kleber's at 4.3K. We'll want to keep an eye on that, absolutely. But I love the Booker call there. You know, he's got that ceiling, and he's one of those guys, you know, you start getting these back and forths in games, and you want to talk about a guy that when he gets hot and kind of bickering back and forth with somebody, he'll go down several possessions in a row and pull off isolations or post-ups, and he can get hot in a hurry. And I think this game does stay close, and I think we're going to be in for a treat, and I like that call there with Booker.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to watching this game, so maybe that's my bias there. All right, you did have one more game that you were interested in there more than other games. So what was that last game you kind of had to talk about with there?
Yeah, this last game I'm going to go with is the New York Knicks and Philadelphia 76ers. Got a 227.5 total. The Knicks are favored by 1.5. It's going to be a close game. You know, big time Eastern Conference showdown. I think the Sixers are still trying to prove themselves here so that they can compete with the elites of the East, you know, without Embiid being in the lineup. I think you're going to see the Knicks and Tibbs obviously stick with these heavy minute rotations. And I think in a game like DFS, you know, you want some certainty, and these guys are going to be out there playing minutes for the Knicks. I think DiVincenzo coming off, you know, that hamstring tag, guys might be scared off him a little bit in tournaments. He's actually 7.7K the last that I looked. He was actually, I want to say he was up over 8K on some slates here during this stretch. And as long as he's getting that run he was getting, I think he could pay that price tag off in a game stack there for sure. So I like DiVincenzo in this matchup. Precious Achiuwa, I think this guy is just a Tom Thibodeau. If you could ask Tibbs what his mold is for a forward or a guy to go out there, it'd be Precious Achiuwa. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason why they went out and got him. And I think that's a big reason why he's playing 40 minutes a game for him almost. So I like those two guys for sure in this matchup and this matchup in general. Then on the Sixers side, I don't think you can go wrong with going back to Buddy Hield here. Yeah, you might be buying up a little bit. We might be getting close to that ceiling, but he's shown a little bit of a distribution factor here since the trade deadline, being traded there. He's giving you a little bit more value with the assists, and we all know he can shoot the ball. They seem okay with giving him this run and pairing him out there with Maxi and giving him the minutes, and he's done really well with the opportunity given to him. And I also like Paul Reed in this matchup. You know, the first few games he got the nod there after Embiid going down. He was down with an illness there for a couple of games and got a little bit of foul trouble in a game or two as well. And he kind of didn't put up the numbers that people were looking for, you know, when those first couple of games post Joel Embiid going down. And ever since then, he's been, you know, he's been scoring at a pretty good clip here as far as DraftKings points. He's at 5.9K, 5,900. This guy has 50-plus fantasy point ceiling we've seen before. I think if you'd like to try getting in a game stack with that game, Paul Reed, the guy to get in there too. So that's a game that I kind of like myself. And like you said, you don't always like to bet for overtime, but with a spread like that, should be a close game. You might even get some bonus minutes too. So
yeah, this is another case where two teams are pretty evenly matched, I would say, for me on paper for sure. I mean, they're both banged up, you know, really good teams, but they're banged up right now, kind of relying on some of their second string guys. But I like those calls. I think DiVincenzo specifically for a GPP play, I think he's a fantastic one because he does scare the crap out of me. I know that much because I have rostered him, you know, when he's been in this exorbitant price tag, and he has burned me in the past. So I get that entirely. But for me, it's always about Hartenstein on the Knicks. I know he's probable for this one. So I don't think I'm going to get to him. But 6,800 is kind of a little pricey for me there. But sure, he's always the guy I like there. But I like your calls do as well for this game as well. So let's roll with those. All right, we're going to go ahead and you mentioned Buddy Hield. I wanted to, that's what I was thinking about while you were talking there. I want to go ahead and pat myself on the back again. My alternate timeline fantasy pass piece out there, which was all 30 teams. I covered a guy. If they ended up getting traded or something changed, they would kind of take off. Buddy Hield was definitely on there. I'm feeling good about him. I am happy about him. I'm happy about that. I got him some best ball squads as well. So sure. So I like that call as well, for sure. But
absolutely.
Yeah, Fantasy Pass, by the way, if you guys need that, $6 a month at sportsethos.com. And you can get it all looped together for $22 a month as the Ethos 360 Pass. And just go get that, turn it on. I mean, it's really, really not that expensive if you guys are out there doing this stuff daily. So we cover all the sports. So, all right, we do have a little bit of time here, Pat. I'd like to go through and just talk about a few guys we haven't touched on that I'm pretty excited about in, you know, games that I might not be excited about the game, but I'm excited about the individual or the kind of, you know, opportunity here. So I've got three guys who I'd like to talk about. And while I'm talking, you can kind of look for some for you as well. But I want to start here with my boy on the Chicago Bulls, of course, Andre frickin' Drummond. over the break, we did get a little message here, or a little unfortunate news here that Torrey Craig hurt himself, I believe working out at his home equipment or something along those lines. And he's going to be out here. Now, what happens there, we have no Patrick Williams. We have no Zach LaVine, of course. The Bulls are exceedingly thin in the front court. So I will tell you guys, in this matchup against Boston, I am 90% certain that the Bulls are going to go with the double big lineup that they've been featuring recently, with Andre Drummond next to Nikola Vucevic. And I think it's actually going to be pretty good against this Boston team. I don't think the Bulls are going to win this game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a delusional fan. But I do think it's going to be a good one here. And I do think that Drummond, with his permanent upside here, is somebody you have to look at, even at 6,100. I mean, I'm playing GPPs just like you, Pat. So yep. He's one of those guys I don't think is going to be very highly owned. Yep. And I think I've got a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to say insider knowledge, but I've got a little bit of an edge because I am a fan and I'm pretty certain about what they're going to do here with their lineup. You know, the other ways that they can go with this is they can play, obviously, Caruso. They're going to play him anyways. They're going to play Dosunmu. But these guys are not going to help against a pretty big Boston Celtics lineup that likes to play Al Horford next to Kristaps Porzingis sometimes. So I really do think they're going to go double bigs here. 6,100 for Andre Drummond. You know, I think he's going to pay off that price tag. I'm really hoping so, at least. And he's really got a massive upside. I'm going to name two other guys here. And these are sub 4,000 guys. So these are really just cost savers that I've got in my lineup right now, which I'm pretty bullish on. First and foremost, Grady Dick on Toronto Raptors, 3,200. I'm waiting for the game where Grady Dick shoots the lights out of the ball, because this kid can frickin' shoot. I'm telling you right now. He has not really had it just yet. He had a game a while ago. I'm trying to see here. He had 18 points a couple games ago, so 22 DK points. But he had a 22-point game against the Pelicans, 34 DK points, looks like about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that's the kind of thing I'm looking for here. You know, this kid has the ability to pop off, and of course I'm playing GPPs. So, you know, if this guy does put up a 30 piece at 3,200, he's obviously paying off massively for me there. The last guy I'm going to mention here is Jose Alvarado on the Pelicans at 3,400, going up against the Houston Rockets. And look, you know, no Dyson Daniels. He's going to be out there. I believe last I looked, if I want to recall that, I think someone else on the Brandon Ingram, I think, is questionable with an illness. So if he doesn't go, there's more opportunity there as well, more shots open there for him as well. He's not necessarily a shooter. He's more of a guy that, you know, secures steals. So maybe you want to look at him on a site like FanDuel, where you get, I believe it's three points for a steal or a block, as opposed to, I think it's two on DraftKings, if I remember correctly. So you know, maybe look for him on that site instead. But still, I think even on DraftKings, he's a decent price tag here at 3,400, because he's going to guaranteed get in for about 15 to 20 minutes, and I think he's going to produce in those minutes, because he does. He's typically very, very active. So those are three guys I just kind of wanted to, you know, shout out there as guys that I'm kind of identifying across the board in some other spots. Any guys that kind of jump out to you like that, Pat?
Yeah, and, you know, just to preface, you know, especially your Drummond call there, you know, especially if you're watching these games on League Pass or whatever, I don't know, if, you know, what type of, you know, viewers a lot of our listeners are. I'm assuming, you know, probably a lot of you guys watch the games. But, yeah, the Bulls have been rolling this double big lineup out there a lot, especially in matchups, you know, against some bigger teams. You know, they're going against the Celtics. I think you could see some Porzingis and Horford out there, and I love the call there. I think they could go back to this lineup here. And even, you know, we want to pay attention these first couple games out of the the All-Star break. You know, maybe this is a lineup that the Bulls just keep going to a little bit more regardless of matchup. So I love that Drummond call there. He obviously, we all know his ceiling that he has, and I like that call. And the Grady Dick call as well. You know, I followed him. I'm a big college basketball fan myself, and he was a big prospect coming into college last year. He's one and done. He does have a great shooting upside and upside in general as a player. If he could just get a little run, maybe somebody gets injured or some foul trouble, or he just gets hot early, he could easily hit that, you know, that low price point. And I do have a couple guys here myself. Mainly more punt style plays for me. So I'm going to start here with Rashawn Holmes. He's at 3.8K. He was recently traded to the Wizards here. They're going against the Nuggets. I think there's a chance maybe we see Bagley get in foul trouble early against against the Joker. If he gets in foul trouble early, I think we can maybe see some extended run from a 3,800 Rashawn Holmes. And if you followed Holmes throughout his career, he's got some fantasy upside, you know, when he gets the run and gets some usage. I kind of like that at 3,800. And even if, you know, Bagley doesn't get necessarily maybe nicked up or in foul trouble, I think you could maybe start seeing Holmes get a little bit more run here, you know, as a backup center, at least in the Wizards rotation. Another guy is, I know we mentioned earlier, Trey Mann for the Hornets, but Fisalije Micić, I know he had his big game the first game out. He's kind of hasn't lived up to that, you know, the last couple games out, but he is still getting run, and he has shown us a little bit of that ceiling. So if he gets hot, or maybe Mann gets in foul trouble, or, you know, his ownership's a little high, you never know. Maybe Micić could be a decent punt leverage play there. Maybe get a little lucky and show you his ceiling a little bit there at 3,800. And the last guy I had there is Chris Dunn. In this Utah backcourt, he's just kind of always getting minutes. He's always kind of getting his run. They love using him in long spurts with this rotation. He's always going to have a pretty good floor for 3,800. And he has shown, 30 to 33 plus fantasy point upside at his price point. So he's always the kind of guy that I look to on certain maybe turbo slates or even just punt plays in general. He's a guy, if you're looking for a cheap guy to throw in, he can always come close to hitting that price point off for you. And he's got a decent ceiling for his price point is what I'll say.
Pat, fantastic work, my friend. I love those calls. I'm all on board with all those. Of course, those are guys I always love to shout out on this program as well. So we are in line here. I love this little sync we've got here going on. All right, guys, that is going to do it though for our show. That is it. Pat, congratulations on a successful first show. Do follow him. Pat, where can people find you on Twitter and find your work, my friend?
Twitter, I am at StatPatter. A little bit of a play on words, but it's going to be a capital S and a capital P, and the patter is P-A-T-T-E-R. X, formerly known as Twitter. You can find me there. It's pretty much really all I use as far as social media. You can find me there. And, I don't tweet as much as I used to, but it's something that I am going to start doing more here going forward. So go ahead and give me a follow there. You'll find some NBA talk, some hoops talk, and general DFS fantasy and gambling talk there. So go ahead and give me a follow there, and you might get a couple kicks here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. Give him a follow. You never know when you're going to get that freebie that's going to get you a whole bunch of money. So I am Keith Thorpe. Of course, you can find me on follow me on Twitter at @ethoskeith, @ethoskeith. And please do also follow @ethosdfs. @ethosdfs is where you're going to find all of our DFS shows. Hey, everybody, until next time, go get that money.